Hey, Queens. So it's our monthly coaching call. We would typically be coaching in our normal format, but today Zoom is having some issues. Not sure what's wrong with their platform, but nobody works on the weekend at the Zoom. So we are here today in Facebook Live. So here's how I would like to do the call. If you have something you want to ask a question, you want to get coached or anything on, I can do some coaching since this will be a smaller call with a few of you. I'll tell you what, I'll explain more of that in a few minutes. Let's just kind of get everybody situated in here before I describe too much stuff, since there is people still coming in and we are sending emails out with the correct place today. Do y'all have any questions? So today just use hashtag ask, or if you want to do hashtag coach and you're kind of going to want to do a little back and forth with some of your answers, feel free to do that also. Exciting things happening right now is since you guys especially are in Queens Club, I highly recommend you take a look at doing Don't Stop Believing. Y'all know me. One of the things that like really changed everything for me when it came to losing my weight was getting active. I don't credit weight loss to activity in terms of, you know, you burn more calories and stuff. I definitely think, though, there is just something about learning something new, overcoming challenges, figuring out what's going to work for you, moving your body. All of that is so motivational, and Don't Stop Believing is a really good way to get that done. So if you are interested in that, we have a virtual race and we have the live event, both of which are up on the tribe website right now over at www.pnptribe.com. You can go to live events, have a little video. It's about 13 minutes about me talking about Don't Stop Believing. If you have a few questions, you can just kind of see what everything's going on there. Training is going to start February 2nd. You can walk it. Probably 70% of our girls are all walkers. You can run it. You can walk and run it. You can do it however you would like to do it. And it's just an exciting event. Even if you do it virtually, you will get a Facebook group where you will be with other people who are doing it virtually and have that opportunity to be able to possibly meet up with people in your area and all that kind of stuff. All right. So if you guys have a question, here's how it's going to roll today. You're just going to use hashtag ask, and you're going to ask whatever it is you want. If you were going to get coached and you aren't going to be able to get coached back and forth today, you could just use hashtag coach, and then I'll answer something, and I may have a question. Like, I may ask you, like, tell me more about that or something along those lines. We can do that. And if nobody has anything, we're going to have to get out of here because Mama ain't got nothing to talk about. I always wait for you guys to tell me what to talk about. I'm looking, I'm sitting here trying to think like what would be something good to talk about with the Queens Club that would be unique from, it's unique from the main tribe. How about, well, there's some of the things that are unique to once you've lost 25 pounds is, grieving that you're going to have to eat less. That's always an issue with the Queens Club. Once you lose some weight, guys, you're smaller. Guess what? When you're smaller, you don't need as much food. So a lot of you really need to like always be on the lookout about every 20 to 25 pounds. Pay attention to your twos again. Listen for it. Don't get accustomed. A lot of times what we'll do is we'll eat a certain amount of food and we'll be noticing that's about what our two is and all that kind of stuff. And then we'll start dishing ourselves up that stuff. And then we go back to really just cleaning our plate because like, oh, well, this has been working and I've been losing weight. And then what happens is you kind of stop losing weight or it really slows down. And you don't think about readjusting. Like you're like, well, I'm eating so much less than I was. And like you're comparing how you're doing now to when you were like batshit crazy or just bigger. You can't make that comparison anymore. You compare to now. The results are different now. Your body's different now. And as you get smaller, guys, you just don't need as much food. You don't have as much you to get around. So like making sure that about every 20, 25 pounds, that you are paying attention again. Like, have a very purposeful week of where you're like, okay, I'm really going to pay attention to my hunger scale this week. Really, like week one, I'm going to make sure I'm actually getting hungry, that I haven't just fell into the rhythm of what eating to lose weight's like. And then the second week, I'm going to really pay attention on the stopping of the eating and not just falling into the rhythm of this is how much food I can eat. And I'm just going to eat all of it, whether I need it or not. Sorry, I was drinking this before we got started. I think I got a little bit down my throat. So that is really important. So that's one of the things. So now that I got y'all primed and ready, let's see what you guys are asking. Let me pull up my channel where Coach Betsy has given me all the things. What about going through the No BS Phase 4 modules? What about you guys going through the Phase 4 No BS modules? Rather than me doing it for you, why don't y'all go listen to them? That'd be awesome. Make sure that you listen, guys. If you're in the Queens Club, you can totally listen to Phase 4 now. You do not need to wait until you lose all of your weight or you only have 20 pounds to lose. There are things in there that you can listen to now that will help you as you continue to go along. When exercise begins, muscle mass builds. Does your scale show muscle mass? Are those scales accurate? I mean, they can be accurate. I just don't get too hung up in that. I just weigh in. I don't really look at all that. The new ones, and I have one of the new ones, it may or may not be accurate. I just weigh in each week, and I focus more on, like, my actions. And I just look at my body. I know I'm putting on some good muscle if I start noticing some muscle. Because you'll notice a little muscle as two things are happening. When you start, so if you're exercising and you're eating to your twos, and let's say you're lifting weights like, you know, 3 and 4 times a week, you're not really putting muscle mass on. What's actually happening is that as you drop fat, you're seeing more of your muscle. And then as you're lifting weights, and like if you're lifting super heavy, like I curl 25s and 30s. So if you're lifting like heavy and things like that, you're not really building muscle. You are creating tears in your muscles that water floods. And there's a lot of like, you'll see a lot of that bouncing. So like people will think they're gaining muscle. Like they'll be gaining weight. They're like, I must be gaining muscle. You're probably tearing muscle down a lot, drinking water. And then those micro tears have more opportunity to hold more water. That's usually what's happening. But if you're in like a technical calorie deficit, and when we're eating to our twos, what we are essentially doing is eating a little bit less. Like eating to 3 and 4 is about maintenance. That's about to maintain whatever weight you're at. Eating to a 2 is eating just a little bit less than what you need to keep your weight steady. That's why it's so easy to lose weight if you're just like paying attention to your 2s. What most diets do is have you eating to about a 0. And that's why they're hard to do, because you're not really getting any kind of satisfaction. You're eating too little food. So all of that to be said, muscle only adds and grows if you were eating on the hunger scale to a 5 or 6. Muscle needs, in order to grow, stimulation, water, and food. So basically fertilize, it's like a plant. A plant doesn't grow unless it's got like night and daytime, sunlight, water, and fertilizer. It needs those things. So your muscles are the same. But what typically is happening is that if you're noticing scale fluctuations, it's micro tears when you're exercising and drinking water, and the water is always balancing. And then as you get smaller, you just start seeing more of your muscle. And when you're lifting throughout your weight loss, you're stimulating the muscle and adding water to it and allowing your muscles to not be shredded. Like, what we don't want is for you losing weight and your muscles being eroded so that you're like skinny fat by the time you get there. Now, guys, this does not mean all of you need to go out and lift weights right now. And that does not mean that something terrible is happening and stuff. I'm just talking to the people who want to lift weights and stuff for, and like you want to keep some muscle. If you just want to really focus on losing weight and you don't want to lift weights and stuff, that's fine. But you're probably not also the person who's like, I one day want to have like big ass biceps. If you were interested in having big ass biceps, you know what you would be doing? Interested in lifting weights. If you just want to lose your weight and you want to be thin and you want to be able to go for walks and stuff, you're probably not in your mental image some kind of very muscular bodybuilding looking chick or whatever, you know? Like even me, I lift weights, but I'm smaller than I used to be because I don't lift as much as I mean, I lift upper body like once a day. I used to lift upper body 4 times a week. I was always stimulating the muscle and stuff. So you guys just remember, you're not going to add muscle unless you're eating extra food. That's how it happens. I went through periods where I would lose weight and then I would purposely gain weight to add muscle and lift really heavy throughout it. And when I would say I was purposely gaining weight, this wasn't McDonald's and Taco Bell and pizza. This was a fuck ton of oatmeal and a lot of chicken, big ass salads. I mean, it was some Ezekiel bread. It wasn't sexy. But I did a lot of rounds of trying to like gain weight on purpose to gain muscle and then lose it slowly so I could see more muscle. Most of us don't want to do that. I don't even want to do that anymore. I did that back in the day. It's just, you know, like, it's an exhausting process. It's fine if you want to do it, but you don't have to do it to look really good, feel really amazing, wear the cute clothes, and get to your goal weight. We can do this in a lot simpler way. There was a question in here this week. Somebody said night eating problems. Ashley, can you tell me about night eating problems? Just give me what's going on. Like, what is your questions about it? Like, what would you like specifically for me to address? Like, tell me what you're eating, what time you're eating, and why you think you're eating. Like, what is going on in your brain? Like, why do you want to eat? There was a question in here this week about losing a certain amount, gaining over the holidays, then struggling to get back to being consistent. I don't really know what the question was, so if somebody can tell me what the question was, that would help me. I just need a little bit of detail. Like, what are we struggling with? If you're struggling with being consistent, guess what? Pick something, get consistent at it this week. Next week, pick the next thing, get consistent at it that week. And probably in 3 to 4 weeks, you will be back to the same consistency that you were before the holidays. That's all that has to happen. We don't need to like recreate the wheel. Like if you're consistently overeating past your two and you're consistently not doing a couple of other things, pick one thing that you're going to do this week. Get it down. Start doing it. And then when you get it on lock, guess what? Start the next one. And guys, like stopping at your two doesn't mean that you're stopping at your two perfectly. It means like, you know what I've done? I've started listening again. I'm not always stopping, but I'm back into the habit of listening and doing my discovery worksheets. So you guess what? Next week, I can practice this part, get into the habit and start that. I'm new to PNP. I lost 50 pounds in 2019. Congratulations. I'm having trouble with the weekly goal because weight fluctuates so much daily. I find 1 week goals get frustrating to me. Why is a 1 week goal frustrating if your weight's fluctuating daily? Those two things don't add up to me, Tammy. Tell me what you mean about this. I want to be all in with this program, so can you give me your thoughts on not having a weekly goal but still completing the scale worksheet? Stop weighing every day. You would never know that your scale is fluctuating every day unless you are actually weighing every day, right? Unless I'm like totally confusing this. Here's the thing. Stop blaming the scale for being frustrated. The scale's just telling you a number, like set a goal, set like 0.5 pound. How am I going to get that done this week? Weigh in at the end of the week. Did I get that done? No. Why? What were the things? Rather than being frustrated of the scale, it fluctuates and all these things happen with the scale, fuck that thinking. But like, all right, I wanted to lose 0.5 pound this week. I did not lose 0.5 pound this week. What could be the problem? What could be the solution? Tammy, if you're frustrated with the scale going up and down every day, get over it. That's called being human. You're being unrealistic with yourself and with the scale. It ain't supposed to go down every day. If you're using it as your golden egg excuse to eat and blow your plan, no, you won't get your weekly goal. That's not the weekly goal's problem either. That's you having unrealistic expectations. Guys, here's how the body works. On Monday, you lose weight. On Tuesday, you probably will be up. On Wednesday, you may be up a little more. On Thursday, suddenly a fat dump happens. On Friday, you drink extra water or the weather changes or something, and the body holds a little water. That shit doesn't matter. Do you know how to know not to be frustrated? Because none of that is in your control. What's in your control? Mouth, hand. Here's how we lose weight. There's food and there's your mouth. Everything else in between is a decision. If you're going to be pissed at the scale, guess what you're not focusing on? Food and your mouth. If you're sitting around thinking the scale is fluctuating weird, if you're sitting around having these unrealistic expectations, guess what you're not doing? Paying attention to your hunger scale. You're paying attention to bullshit. If you want to be frustrated that you're paying attention to something that has nothing to do with your eating. So stop weighing every day. Weigh once a week. Fill out your Hello scale. You're kind of missing the point. What am I missing here? Tell me what I'm missing. You said having a goal frustrates you. A goal is a number. It cannot be frustrating. Having a goal has a thought attached to it. Your thought is daily weigh-ins and fluctuations fuck with my brain or mess with my brain, or I forget how you exactly said it. They get frustrating to me. It has to be frustrating because of a thought you're having that's not this one. Here's a half a pound that I want to lose this week. If you want to feel motivated, here, Tammy, this is why I don't want you to have a longer period goal. Because you're trying to say, the best way for me not to feel tempted by food is not to learn how to not be tempted by food, is to control the world. Nobody bring me food. Then you don't learn how to not be tempted by food. Your goal, you're not learning how to not be frustrated by it. You're not learning how to let it energize you, bring you confidence. We have to do that with our brain. You can't just take away setting goals and like, well, now I feel better. Of course you feel better, because you know what's happening? When you take away the goal, you take away the opportunity to figure out how to have a healthy relationship with goal setting. You take away the opportunity to have a healthy relationship with your scale and your body doing its natural thing. You're creating a faux sense of feeling good. I would much rather you learn how to set a goal and just believe in yourself, rather than setting a goal and not practicing believing in yourself because you think the goal controls you. That's what you're wanting to do. So if the goal controls me and my thoughts and my feelings, I'm going to take away the goal so I don't have to have thoughts and feelings about it, rather than I have a half a pound goal. I'm in total control of how I think and feel about it. This week, I'm going to believe in me. I'm going to feel compassionate. I'm going to feel understanding. My action line is every time I think the goal is messing with me to remind me, all I got to do is focus on if I'm hungry or not. All I have to do is remind myself it's either on the plan or it's not. It's not the goal doing this. That's how you get back. That's how you slow yourself back into putting the focus where it needs to be, which is on all those actions. So the goal doesn't do any of that. Only we do that part. And you're only going to focus on your action line. So make sure you've taken phase two, okay? This will all make a lot more sense if you take phase two of No BS. I think this will really help. Like, listen to it a couple times. But the only way that we ever control our actions is when, like, if your goal, let me just do this. Hang on, let me get my whiteboard for you. This is a really good question. Oh, shit. Y'all, I almost knocked over my damn heater. Let's see. I got to figure out how I get the phone to get all this in. Okay, So your circumstance, Tammy, tell me how much you're wanting to lose each week. I want to know what you're, what we're thinking. So you're saying the goal is frustrating you. Tell me what your goal this week is. Because right now we're feeling frustrated. I'm just kind of waiting on Tammy. Because the result right now that Tammy's probably going to end up seeing is 1 pound. Okay. So 1 pound. And you feel frustrated because of some thought. We haven't gotten the thought yet that is frustrating you. So tell me what you think about that. So give me an example of some of the things. Like when I say 1 pound this week, what is, I don't know how to change that, guys. I know it's got the mirror image, but I'm writing it down mainly for me. I don't know how to change it. Don't ask me to change it because we will spend all day trying to figure out for me how to change that. Well, let me look here. See, all it's going to do is give me a bunch of weird little tool buttons and stuff. All right. That's better. Okay. Now I just got to pray that I can get back to comments. Okay. Okay. So tell me, like, when you think 1 pound goal on my piece of paper, when you see that, what are thoughts that feel frustrating to you? If you can, like, type in some of those, that'll help me. I'm going to answer this question while we're waiting on a comment from Tammy. Kara says, having a hard time with -2. I think I may be missing some cues in the early signs of hunger. Are there any super earlier signs of hunger? I think my being extremely hungry is affecting feeling my +2. Sometimes just being tired, unfocused. For some people, they have thoughts about hunger first. They start thinking, I think I'm getting hungry. Like for me, a lot of times I'm just tired, and sometimes I think I'm hungry before I'm actually, like, my body doesn't physically get hungry for a long time. So just kind of paying attention to some of those things. If you go to the No BS, I think we have on the hunger scale worksheet, we added a lot of new signals and things like that. So you might want to check over in there and see. Well, I don't know what happened to Tammy, but Tammy, Tammy wants to lose 1 pound a week. And then she feels frustrated because of the goals she's setting. So sometimes thoughts that lead to frustration are, here we go. Thank you, Tammy. I was fixing to just make some shit up. I hate to make some shit. I could lose 1 last week, 0 this week, and 2 next week. This week's 0 did not reach my goal, so I'm frustrated. Next week, I'm excited because I lost 2. Okay, so, all right, let's do it this way then. Let's just do it this way. Why are you frustrated with a 0? 0 pounds lost. Goal was 1 pound. Although I'm just going to tell you, you're missing the obvious. You're averaging losing 1 pound a week, which is your goal. Somehow, you're allowing yourself to not do math. You're not averaging it out. Like, I lost 2. I lost 1. 1 week I lost 0. That means over the course, I averaged 1 pound a week. Your thought could be, I'm averaging 1 pound a week, which is my goal. But we're not there, right? That's our intentional model. That's the math model. But that's what happens to us when we get so, like, caught up in thinking it should be a certain way. So it's not an emotional roller coaster. Why? Like, I need the thought around why you think it's an emotional roller coaster. What do you think is supposed to be happening here? Like, I should have lost 1 pound. My goal is 1. And if I lose 0, it means what? What does it mean about you? That's the question, Tammy. What are you making it mean that you lost 0 pounds 1 week? Mean about you. So that's going to be like, I must be, I am, It means that I it had that I did something wrong. All right, so this is good. I did something wrong. And I will tell most of you, since we're not coaching, that this is what happens. When you think you did something wrong, most of you are like, well, I did something wrong, and I feel frustrated. The action line is worry, which solves nothing. Stew, which solves nothing. A lot of you will eat, which solves nothing. That's not all of you, but I'm just going to be making this up. So a lot of people will end up overeating. They'll have fuck it moment. Well, fuck it. If I'm not going to lose weight, I might as well just have what I want anyway, right? A lot of us will do that. So we do a lot of things that, guess what the result is? We do wrong by ourselves. We do wrong things in reaction to a number. That's how that model plays out. Oh, I'll starve that day. Oh, that's even better. So I starve my body. Because we know that's a long-term solution. That's for sure the way we lose weight for the rest of our life, by teaching ourselves how to punish ourselves. Because look, what if you didn't do anything wrong? What if this is just a zero week? Like, let's just all, like, decide that when these weeks happen, I don't care if you binged your face off all week, that none of you did anything wrong. It's never going to be a helpful thought. I did something wrong. I did it wrong. What if the thought is always, there's something to be learned here? And you just go back. This is where the Hello Scale worksheet comes in. You go back to the Hello Scale worksheet, and you look to see what you did that week. And if you noticed that you followed your plan, you did all the things that we teach, you're like, you know what? I don't really have a level up this week. Then what you do is you're like, I'll give it one more week to see what happens. It might just be my body this week. The way the scale normally works is no one ever loses like won't like that anyway. Right? It's very optional to think I did something wrong. And I'm going to tell you, you see how terrible this model is? I did something wrong, so now I starve myself. I overreact. I don't teach myself how to lose weight for life. I act in a very self-loathing way to myself by thinking very self-loathing things about 0 pounds lost when the goal was one. I don't do my math. I don't wait 1 week and practice patience with the scale. I miss out on my opportunity to be patient with me and the scale, compassionate with me. We don't want to miss out on those opportunities. Weighing in is one of the things. Guys, the skill of weighing in and the skill with goal setting allows you to practice the opportunity to love yourself, to have compassion, and for most of you, to have patience. You're not going to lose weight being impatient. You're going to have a miserable weight loss experience and probably self-destruct if you're always on edge in impatience. I want you to think about this. If you had to live your life always impatient, waiting for your children, waiting for your husband, waiting for everyone to do things and say things and whatnot, you'd self-destruct. You can't do that with your weight loss either. So we want to learn how to practice patience. So I want you to do like I did, Tammy, when I was losing weight. There were several weeks in the middle of my journey where scale wouldn't move, and I was literally living like a different person. And I just felt like my problem was I felt like I was owed weight loss. I was doing all the things. I was, you know, showing up as a completely different person. And when I noticed myself getting frustrated and telling myself bullshit, like I deserve it, this should be, you know, you know, if I'm going to be doing all this and I'm not going to be losing weight, why bother? Like, I had all these doo-doo thoughts. And that was the moment where I was like, oh, wait, that's shit I always tell myself that's made me overweight all my life. That is exactly the path to finally breaking. Because if you're going to self-loathe and you're going to talk terrible to yourself, eventually you'll go back to the food. You'll want the break from yourself. It won't be the break from the scale. This 0 pounds can't hurt you. This 0 pounds is just sitting there as an invitation to figure out how to think better for yourself. And when you experience the emotional roller coaster, like when you notice yourself doing that, I want you to always be challenging shit. You would think I can't say shit with a mouthful. I want you to be like, this is what's going to make it different this time. I'm not going to continue to overreact to this. When I have my 0 pound weeks, I'm going to remind myself, first thing I do is I say, this is an opportunity to learn something. Guys, for all of you, this is an opportunity to love yourself and learn something. So step two is go to your action line. What was I doing and not doing this week? This is not a critique fest, a shit on myself fest, a grab my shame shawl fest, none of that. This is an opportunity to go through and realistically look at my plans. What could I level up, or am I doing pretty damn good and just need to give myself credit for it, when the hardest thing in the world would be to give myself credit when I've lost 0 pounds? Can I be big enough in this journey to give myself credit when in the past I've chosen to shame myself? Can I challenge myself to do that? That's the hardest work of all, y'all. The hardest work ever is to be nice to yourself when you're used to abusing yourself. That's what 0 pound weeks, even weeks where you gain a little weight. I've had weeks where I was like, fuck yeah, on fire, all the things, whoop, whoop. And then suddenly, like, I've gained 2 pounds. Could you imagine if every time, like, I travel all the time and I have a period like no other every month. Can you imagine if I freaked out every time, what my life would be like? It would be wretched, y'all. And it's not. I don't freak out about that stuff. You know what I do? I get busy being honest. Did I do what I said I would do for myself this week? And if I didn't, why? What could I do for myself this week? How am I going to make this easier this week? Where's my 1%? It's probably there. And if it's not, guess what? I get to believe in me no matter what. I'm going to wait for another week and see what happens. And see if it balances out. I'm going to watch my trends. Track your trends. A lot of people lose very little, very little, drop. Very little, bounce up, drop. A lot of us lose that way. I have several clients over the years who lose 1 week out of the month. The other 3 weeks, they never lose anything. And they're doing all the things. And they pretty much maintain or bounce up. And then they have like a big week. They lose about 4 pounds in this 1 week because of the way their hormones work. Well, they can't be a shit show for the 3 weeks mentally. And they can't be a shit show for 3 weeks with their food because they have to invest in the payoff of the 4th week. And they have to pay rent and they have to show up for themselves like a boss, knowing their pattern, and override wanting to beat themselves up for the sweet glory of week 4 when all things just come together. That's the way it works. Guys, you don't get to decide how this is all going to go down outside of what you eat and what you put in your mouth. That's it. That is your, like, your 4 basics are what control all of it. And all the weight will come off as it's going to come off, guys, it's all about going back through, examining, being honest, and dropping all the judgment. Okay, Tammy, I hope that helped. And I hope that made a lot more sense. Let me know. That was such a good question. And I appreciate you being really honest and being really patient with me getting to the bottom of it. So there you go. And I hope this was helpful for a lot of you. I just had a big gain somewhat due to taking a course of prednisone. It's hard to watch this number. Guys, stop saying, like, guys, I want you to notice when you say it's hard to watch that number go up. If you're willing to say that part, then here's what I want you to do. It's hard to watch that number go up because of the shit I'm thinking about it. I'm taking prednisone. You shouldn't, like, the only reason why it would be hard for it to go up is if you're thinking, this is making me fat or this is doing something to me. All of those thoughts are what are making it hard. Rather than focusing on, I'm on prednisone, there will be some weight gain, but as long as my mouth habits stay in check and I stay in check with examining my twos, listening to my body, and making my food plans, guess what? When I'm off of prednisone, the shit will be falling off and I won't have doo-doo habits to have to recreate because I just kept doing what I know will work. This is like saying, man, it's just hard watching that pregnant weight go up. This is why my pregnancy girls, I tell them, like, don't freak out about pregnancy weight. While you're pregnant, eat when you're hungry, stop when you're satisfied, plan your food, listen to your body, do all the things. Guess what will happen when you don't have a baby in your belly that you're growing a human on? You'll be in the habit of listening to your body. You'll be in the habit of stopping rather than just cleaning your plate and making bullshit excuses because I'm on prednisone or because I'm pregnant or whatever. It's the mental habits that we're really concerned with. And right now, what I want you to do is I want you to make sure that you're not giving too much credit to the prednisone. I'm finished with the meds now. It's frustrating. It's not frustrating. Guess what you could be thinking? It's over. Time to get to work. You could be thinking about your future, or you could be thinking about what just happened. That's an option, Maria. Decide where you want your brain going. You guys keep saying this about, like, things are frustrating. Things are upsetting me. Everyone, repeat after me. Circumstances are up here. Feelings are down here. My thoughts are the sandwich. Like, you're the meat of the sandwich. Or all the veggies, whatever, if you're a vegetarian. Your thoughts are in the middle of that. Nothing is a feeling. So, like, I know you're right. I am afraid of blaming the meds instead of taking ownership. Like, what's the downside of just saying, you know what? Sometimes I felt sorry for myself and I ate. Guess what? I'm going to be excited I'm off prednisone and I'm going to eat nutritionally now. I'm done with that part. I'm done with the pity party. Pity parties suck. Let me just tell you, nobody wants to come to pity parties. Try inviting your friends to a pity party. Say, like, hey, y'all, I'm going to have a major bitch fest pity party. Y'all want to come? No. Say, hey, guys, let's go out. Let's have an amazing time. Let's talk about our friendship and how much we love each other and our future. People are like, yeah, vision board class? What are you talking about? I'm all in. Pity parties are a party of one. Stop doing them. I'm about to finally be under 100 pounds to lose after losing 52. Congratulations, Jen, so far. But I keep flirting to breaking through this milestone. Similar to when people are entering Wonderland. Best suggestions to blow this milestone out of the water. Go through your action line. Seriously. So what I really want you to do is get into your planner. And I want you to look at your habit tracker. And I want you to think about, okay, in my habit tracker, what is the thing that if I really focused on and dialed in, I'm going to put all my energy and effort right there. So make sure you're having a very realistic plan every day so that you're following, like, where you can, like, really figure this out. Like, make sure you're planning every single day. If you're not planning every single day, then that will probably get you over the edge. But the thing I really want you to do is I want you to think about, what is the one thing that I bet if I paid a lot of attention to and was just like, all my energy and effort goes right here, that would make a difference. I promise you that will do it. Your sleep and water have to be dialed, so let's make sure that's happening. But if I had to guess, the part that would probably make the biggest difference is going to be plus two side. You being willing to, like, double down on your plus two, no matter what, whether you have a plan or not. Just been like 30 days, I'm going to pay so much attention to my plus two. Like, I'm going to challenge myself to stop. I'm going to reach out to my accountability partners and talk about, you know, any kind of drama that comes up to me on stopping, no matter what. I will tell all of you, I think that, like, there's so many important parts, but plus two is the one that I know makes such a big difference, but it tends to be the one that people have the most drama with, so they kind of avoid it. But when you're in Queen's Club and you're really wanting to see traction, really paying attention to your plus two, challenging yourself on it, being willing to, like, leave a little bit more food behind than you normally would just to see if your plus two has changed, really helps us keep going and going and going without too many plateaus and stalls. Congratulations, Jen. So if you've got 80 days of consecutive days of plans and assessments, you're going to exactly know what it is. Just take a look and see, where are you not, like, where is that one place? I would almost bet it's the plus two. That will probably help. You're smaller now. That's what I was kind of talking about in the beginning. Very often, like, we're following our plan and stuff, but we're kind of like cashing it in on the plus two side, because it's like we get used to eating a certain amount and we're just like, oh yeah, I'm following my two, but I'm cleaning my plate like every single time. It's like, well, might not be following the plus two if you're cleaning your plate every single time. I am still not sure if I'm picking a good goal weight. My BMI chart says 112 to 140. I picked 140 as my goal weight, but the body scan I do each month says I should lose 40 more pounds, which is 7 pounds less. I'm not sure what I would look healthy at. Here's what I do. I get to 140 and then decide. I'd just be like, boom, 140 is what we're doing. When I get there, I'm going to decide, do I want to lose more or not? A lot of those weight scale charts and stuff, guys, they're so across the board average stuff. Like, I'm supposed to weigh, I think, 135 pounds or 140. No. One, I have been that small before and I don't look good at it. I look like horse shit. I am not going to, like, walk around. I don't care what it says. I'm athletic, I eat healthy, and I like this. And so it's like, fuck all that. I ain't going to do something just because a rando chart says I should. I like being this size. So what I would do if I was you is I would just pick that 140. If that's what you want to be, go all in on the 140 and then leave it open in your mind. Like, you know what? When I get there, I'll decide. I may love it. I may want more. Who knows? But I will be so good at losing weight that I'll know what to do. How tall am I? I'm 5'6". I hit Queen's Club during late summer. In the fall, I gained a lot back, and I haven't been able to get my mind right since then. I keep choosing to eat off plan like an asshole, and when I'm not even hungry. Taking responsibility, need help learning how to eat like I love myself again, trying not to feel like a failure. Okay, so let's just, if we weren't going to be a failure, and we weren't going to be calling ourselves names and all that kind of stuff, what would you start doing? This is always such a good question. You guys, if you were going to, like, just be like, okay, if you just weren't allowed, and you were actually just going to have to make a plan that was easy, what would you do? Like, if you weren't going to think it wasn't good enough, and if you weren't thinking about what had happened before, and you weren't thinking you were an asshole and all this other stuff, it's like, what would you be doing? Most of you would do like everybody. I think I'd start with that very realistic plan. Like, if the first thing is that I'm not really making plans, I'll probably start with that. I'm going to make a a daily plan. And for 2 weeks, I'm going to see if I follow it or not. And if I'm not following it, I'll learn what I need to be adding to it until I get really good at following it consistently with all the foods that I want and all the things that I want to be including so that I can override my should bones and shit like that that keeps coming up. That's what I got to learn first. Because usually what I find happens is a lot of you will come into PNP and you will lose weight, and then some of you will do it by still planning shoulds. Like, the hunger scale is so great and so easy and stuff, but you kind of willpower your way through the food. Because if you need to eat extra and you need to eat all these other foods, you probably didn't lose the weight eating them to begin with. You probably lost the weight cutting them out thinking, well, I don't need those. It's like sometimes what we do is we do nice talk about it. We don't realize that we're really not losing it the way we plan to live it. So that when life happens, the summer happens, we're not prepared for the summer. We haven't been eating things that we're going to want in the summer. And then suddenly the summer's here. And we haven't practiced how to eat any of it. So we go nuts. That's why I teach you guys to plan realistically. So if I was you, Candy, I would start with, all right, the next couple of weeks, I'm just going to plan super realistically. I'm going to plan more realistically than I think is even, like, possible. I'm just going to start there. You're already eating that way now anyway. I just want you to put it to paper. No harm, no foul now. The worst thing you can do is eat it unpurposely. So now we just want to eat those foods very purposely. We just want to put them on there and get used to planning again and get used to thinking and get used to getting into that groove. Then you can layer in the hunger scale with all of those foods. Doesn't mean you'll eat them perfectly. It just means you'll get used to paying attention again. I guarantee you'll start catching momentum and you'll lose some weight just even doing that. You're probably making it like an all or nothing thing. Like, I've got to go back to how I was at the end of last summer. If I had to bet, most of your plans are probably a mirror of what you did at the height of when you lost. Not where you need to start right now. And there's no shame in starting where you're at now. You know what the real shame is? Not getting started. Sitting around thinking it's got to be harder and doing nothing about it. You're just making it hard on yourself. I binge at night many times, 4 or 5 times, usually bananas or tortillas, but too much quantity. Emotional eating, Ashley, but it feels different than in the daytime. So have you watched any of our binge eating calls? So Ashley, what I would do if you're doing this at night, I don't know how many bananas you're eating at night or how many tortillas. Have you planned for those so that you're eating them on purpose rather than just binging on them? We have, if you go to phase 3 of No BS, I want you to go to What to Do If I'm a Binge Eater and listen to, it's module 12, Overeating is Normal and Here's Why. I want you to listen to all of that, but unit 5 of that one is What to Do If I'm a Binge Eater. I want you to for sure make sure you have watched that lesson, okay? What about when you gain? No difference. And when the goal doesn't average out, no difference. If you lose the next week, not meeting my goal at all, when I know I did the right things, that's what frustrates me and makes me not want to set goals at all. Helen, you can't be doing the right things if you're not losing weight. You have to quit telling yourself that. That's going to stall you and that's going to frustrate you. Insisting I'm doing the right things and for weeks on end, there's no budge, doesn't mean you're doing the right things. It also doesn't mean you're doing the wrong things. It means try new things. Rather than the old stinky pattern of, I'm just going to keep doing the same things over and over again and beat myself up and hope for new things. That sucks. Like, everything that I taught on that board applies the same. You're not doing something wrong. You're also not doing right things either. You're doing a group of things. Take one and ask yourself, if I really want to lose, like, and I don't know how long your stall is, Helen. If you can, like, post, like, how many weeks are we talking? 12 weeks? 14 weeks? You doing all the things? Like, if I looked at your habit tracker, 100% across the board, like, give me some real data. Put it in here so I can see it, okay? And let's break it down. How would you recommend writing weekly goals if you are one that stays the same for weeks, then drops? I would just keep writing the goal as, like, to lose this, and then eventually it happens. I wouldn't get too caught up in it. Guys, the goal is to keep you focused on making sure that your actions are aligned with getting your goal. That's it. It's to keep reminding you of your goal and keep reminding you of how to align your actions to get there. If it averages out that you're getting there over time, like at 1 pound, 2 pounds, half a pound, whatever it is, that's fine. It's more about the actions. My husband is interviewing for his dream job this week. It's 2 hours away from our home. I'm stressing about a move that may not even happen, finding it hard to quit worrying. So every time you worry, you have to just say, like, well, that's not going to solve this. Like, it's natural for your brain. So here's what I want you to know, Jamie. It is natural for your brain to want to think about it. Here's why. Brains like closed loops. That's why it irritates us to watch a show that's like, if you ever, like, binge watched anything, like when we started watching Game of Thrones and we started watching some of our favorite shows, oh my God, everything ended with, like, a cliffhanger for the next one. And I just be like, we've got to watch the next one. We have to watch the next one. Your brain likes to close loops. It wants things to have resolution. And if it doesn't have resolution, it thinks something's wrong. That's how the primitive brain just is wired and designed to work. But you have a conscious brain. Your conscious brain has to come in and close the loop for it. You have to keep reminding, you have to keep telling yourself, we'll know in 2 weeks. We may move, but we may not move, but we'll know in 2 weeks. I'm choosing not to think about it right now because we won't know anything until 2 weeks. You have to close the loop for it over and over and over again. Now, it's probably going to want to keep thinking about it. But worrying, like, oh my God, what does this mean and stuff? If your brain's going to go there, you have two options. To remind yourself that it's, like, it's not even worth thinking about. We don't really know anything. Or allow your brain to go where it wants to go on a sheet of paper and not just with your thoughts. So every day I would do a brain dump, like, this is my worry sheet. All the things I'm worried about. And then work through and say, like, what's the best case scenario? Is there anything on here that's not even worth thinking about? Is it just kind of some ridiculousness going on in my brain? And then cross those out. Let your brain do some work on it, and it will free you up for the rest of the day. I want to get motivated to eat more healthy whole foods as opposed to fast food and processed food. I want to start strength training and a running program. I think my body would do better with healthier food, but I tend to want and plan fast foods and processed foods. Would you offer some advice, please? Yeah, so what I would do is, like, rather than trying to, like, well, this is what I see most of you do, is you kind of want to, like, cut out all the fast food at one time. What if you just agreed with yourself, like, 2 days a week, I'm going to make myself some healthy foods, or 1 day a week for the next month, it's my cooking day. And this is the day that I'm going to, like, create something delicious for myself. And I'm not going to plan fast food that day. Get into the habit of doing that, and then giving yourself the opportunity to experience it. Because usually what happens is, if you do a lot of processed and fast food, here's where you're going to have two things that you have to kind of fight. One, speed. I mean, come on, it's fast food. It's fast. And everybody loves getting their quick fix of everything. Number two, because it's processed, it's going to taste really good. It's not like we're going to fast food and be like, give me the biggest bullshit you've got. We're going there because it tastes fucking good. It's designed to taste good. It's designed to be palatable. I promise you, if I went to McDonald's right now, I could enjoy me a number two with mayonnaise and some french fries. Y'all, I eat real healthy. You'll never hear me go, I bet that'll taste like shit. I'm like, pfft. A fish fillet, I swear to God, would still taste good. So, here's what you got. So when you start eating healthy, if you're used to it being fast and you're used to it tasting good, you are going to have to teach yourself how to make healthy food kind of mirror that. Be a little fast or be worth cooking and worth experiencing. Plus, first few times out the gate, you may pick recipes that are horseshit you don't like. You might have to try a few times. That's why I say, like, do your best on the fast food by ordering better for yourself and stuff, knowing that that's the goal. Baby step into it and then allow yourself to, like, watch it. And, like, see, what do I like? What do I not like? What do I want to keep trying and what do I don't? But I would pick a day where it's a non-stressful day, like a day that it would be easy for you to experiment and treat yourself, like make it an experience. What is a day of the week that it would be fun and inviting to you and easy to actually cook and do that, or like even get it, like, you know, prepackaged or whatever? Set it up to where it's very simple. Notice how I'm always wargaming. How are we going to do this the easiest way possible? How are we going to do this the easiest way possible? That's how I would do it. Because I ate fast food all the time. I still love me some fast food. I don't get it very often. But man, every now and then, I'm like, ooh, let's go have some. Let's plan for that. I just don't do it very often. I don't like how it makes me feel. And that took me a long time to come to. Because I liked how it made me feel in the moment. It's just the next day, I just noticed I don't feel as good. And I just like doing so much with my life now that I want to set myself up to feel good as much as I possibly can. So that, you know, like today, I've had 4 hours of calls. You know, I had to make sure this morning, and I had a 2.5 hour run. I've like carried water around like it's a whoopee all day long. So, I made sure to plan little meals in between things so I just didn't run out of energy. So it's just like thinking about, like, what do you most want out of life and stuff? And then that's, to me, that's how you get motivated. You take it easy to get there. And then, like, the easy steps become motivating because it's so much easier to, like, start, you know? I've been planning candy every day because I don't want it to feel forbidden. I want to be able to dial it back to once or twice a week to keep my weight loss momentum high. When I eat it, I often overeat it. I would like some help with dialing it back. If you're overeating it, you only have two options. Plan more and eat it more deliberately. The worst thing you guys can be doing is creating a habit of planning things and then overeating it without doing it on purpose. I would much rather see you eat more than you need on purpose so that your brain's never turned off from it, not using, like, breaking the habit of the justifications and the excuses first is more important. So you have a choice. You can either plan more because that's what you're doing. That will be uncomfortable. It will not be as much fun. It's more fun to just overeat and turn your brain off because then you're just getting the candy high without any of the thoughts. It's not as much fun to eat a lot of candy on purpose with your weight loss goals staring you in the face. It feels like shit. Most of the time. Sometimes it won't. But a lot of times it will. So what I would is either do that or you just have to make an agreement. This is it. And if you catch yourself overeating and be like, it's a no, and you stop, you can do a mix. You could plan a little bit more and say, like, okay, then I have to go. Like, if I'm going to eat candy, I can't eat it in my comfy chair. I can't eat it at my office desk. Like, I've got to actually go to the break room and sit there with all my candy for everyone to see and eat it. Like, make some agreements with yourself. Make the experience of eating the candy very aware, very in your face, very, like, boom, this is what we're doing. And then listen for the new thoughts that come up. I need to listen to a 25 pounds to go podcast. Is there one? Too many things are getting different now. All of phase four. Phase four of no BS. That's all about the last 20 pounds. Too many things are getting different now. Like what? Like, tell me what's getting different now. Like, tell me all the things that are so different. Because there's not that much different. You're still doing the four basics. Ginger, I would just like, give me three things that are all different that actually affect the last 25 pounds. Tell me what they are. I want to know. You mentioned seasons before. Can that apply to weight loss? Slow loss during the winter, faster loss in the summer. My progress has slowed, but I know it will pick up in the spring. Yeah, but tell me why you know it'll pick up in the spring. Is it because things change? Or is it because, like, in the winter, you overeat more? Ginger, my hunger scale changes. Yeah, you're smaller, so eat less. You don't need a podcast on that. What do you need a podcast on that for? Because you don't want to eat less? That's a model. Go back to phase two and do the model. My need to level up food, I'm thinking. Okay, that's all phases. That's not 25 pounds. Like, I want you to see where your brain's going. 25 pounds, there's so many things to change. What did you say? Your exact words. Too many things are getting different now. No, it's not. One thing at a time. You're smaller. Recheck that hunger scale. You know what? Somebody who's losing 200 pounds, guess what they're going to be doing at 100? Rechecking that hunger scale. Y'all quit thinking that 20 pounds is harder. So many different things. Same shit all the time. May need to level up my food. Yeah. Everybody who loses 20 pounds, the first 20, probably going to have to do a couple level ups. So, pick easy ones. Don't pick hard shit. Here's a level up. If you're eating ice cream, eat a little less. If you're eating sandwiches with mayonnaise, try mustard. Half and half. A little mayonnaise, a little mustard. Half mayonnaise. Do y'all know why it's so easy for me to make suggestions? If everybody, I don't eat junk right now. So why do you need to level up? If you're eating healthy, then the food is not the level up. Tell me the food you need to level up. Rather than, like, being convinced too many things are happening and all this stuff, I want all of you to hear this. A lot of you sit around with a lot of thoughts and worrying about stuff, and you know what you're not doing? Before I worry, I have to come up with three solutions to my problem. Could you imagine if we went through life and we're like, oh my God, what do you mean? What do you mean you're like, I have to pay you $10,000 every time I worry and I didn't come up with three solutions to my problems? Can you, like, for 1 second, y'all, imagine your life differently if there was a legit $10,000 tax on level ups? Pasta, grains, and cheese is not what's going to, you're going to have to cut those out to lose 25 pounds. If I can fucking, I eat those all the time. I had cheese twice today already. What are you talking about, Ginger? You do not need to cut out pasta, grains, and cheese. Tell me why you would need to. Now tell me why you think you have to cut those out. Tell me why pasta, grains, and cheese, so many of us can lose all of our weight on it, but Ginger, nope, she's our pasta unicorn. She can't. I want to know the answer to this question for sure. Here's Helen. Since December 1st, I lost 3 pounds, and then the next week I gained 2.5. Tell me why you gained 2.5 pounds. Habit tracker, I'm running 100% on plan, water, sleep, and I run around 90% on following. So we're making our plans every day. 10% of the time we're not following our plan. But the tends to be off plan, not overeat. So I'm subbing out foods. I'm not eating what I say I'm going to eat. Eating plus 2 is the same. I had 6 days out of 40 since December when I ate more than my plus 2. The gains don't necessarily correlate to the week. And guys, they won't always correlate. what you eat today probably will show up on the scale literally in 2 weeks. Boom. Minds are exploding everywhere. What? That's why some of you, what you eat today and how well you follow your food will show up in a loss in 2 to 3 weeks. What? That's how it works. But you guys are allowing yourselves to think bullshit about yourself and that I must be, what was it? I did something wrong because I did good today. Where's my immediate result? Look, the scale ain't Facebook. It ain't gonna give you your instant hit just because you want a new story. No, that is not how it works. We have to quit doing that. Your job is to be patient. Your job is to wait. I'd be like saying, I put money in the stock market yesterday. Where's my big gains? I'm just shocked. It's not happening. It is the same. You got to be patient. The up and down is frustrating. I'm not meeting my goals, which I keep adjusting and still don't meet. I feel fatigued from it. Well, I want you to quit adjusting the goals, and I want you to work on the 10% of the time that you're not following your plan, and then work on the overeats. Let's quit adjusting goals and spending energy there and being frustrated. Stop doing that. You have your numbers right here. 10% of the time, I am not following my plans. 6 out of 40 days, I don't even know the math. I can't do it because my phone, let me see. Let's just see what the math is. Where's my calculator? Fuck. Hang on. Six divided by 40. 15% of the time, I'm overeating. I'm wondering why I'm losing slow and my numbers are weird. Get busy. 15% of the time, you're overeating. And you're wanting 100% of the results. Like, tell your story. Like, rather than refocusing on the goal and saying the goal is frustrating and all this is so frustrating, and been like, you know what's frustrating? 15% of the time, I'm not digging into what's going on. Why am I choosing to overeat on these days? What am I learning from this? When's the last time I reevaluated my -2 and my +2? How many meals in the last, what did you say, 30 days, 40 days? How many meals out of the last 40 days did I leave at least 3 to 4 bites behind? If it's not most of the time, most days, I probably don't know what my +2 is anymore. If it's only sometimes, I'm probably not dialed. That's okay. I can do that now. I can get that dialed. That's the questions to ask. If you had to take a wild guess, like just a wild guess, like what could you do for the 15%? And what could you do with the other 10? Like if you cleaned 15 and 10% up, do you think it would make a change? If you were willing to question your hunger scale, if you combed through all the food, just, is there any place in here that I can eat a little different? Am I willing to eat a little different in any of it? Maybe not. It's okay. I want you to learn the skill of questioning it, of examining it, and looking at it. Right now, you're practicing the skill of being fatigued and frustrated by your own thinking about the goal, rather than being energized and curious about your actions. Move all now. What we have, we have 40 days of actions that are now a circumstance. I want you to work on that model. 15%, 10%. That's the model to be working on. Right now, you're working on the model of the goal over and over and over again and wondering why you're not getting a different result because you're focused on the wrong part. The part that gets the goal is you on that action line and your thinking and feeling that's driving it. Right now, your thinking and your feeling is very consumed about a goal and it has, and it doesn't, it'll, you don't have curiosity happening, examination happening, honesty, truth, those feelings. Guys, awareness, those are the hardest feelings to feel at times. We're not used to doing that part in life anymore. We're used to just people telling us how to feel, or we just feel like a couple of feelings and we just don't even practice any of the other ones. For most of you in Queen's Club, if you haven't felt curious and aware, willing, in a long time, let's try that. Back to the seasons questions. Krista, outside walks, more access to salads. I live in Washington. It's cold, wet, dry. Yeah, totally. Then I think that's fine. Here's the other thing. You have access to soup. That's what I would tell myself. I don't eat as many salads during the winter because I want soup or I want stew and stuff like that. Or I want like warm food. I don't want salads as much. Although I can get salads, I mean, you know, they still sell lettuce. It comes from all over the world, but, I do tend to eat a lot more soups and stews in the winter. So, here's what I would do. I wouldn't use not having access to a salad as a reason why you lose slower. I would just find foods like soups and stuff where you can get your vegetables in. It's just a different modality for your vegetables and stuff. Being able to not walk outside. You know, a lot of us do more. I will do a lot more outside walking and stuff. I will be more active. But you also could try dancing maybe in your house or just kind of coming up with some other kind of activity. But, you know, sometimes for some of us, depending on where we live, the winter is a little more sluggish. Just don't sit there and say like, it's harder to lose weight in the winter. What I would do is just like, this is the season where my weight loss slows because I choose to eat these things. Don't blame it on the winter and stuff. I just don't think it's a good habit to get into. All right, guys, that's it. I hope y'all enjoyed today. I know it was a lot of Q&A. I feel like that's all I've done today is Q&A, Q&A, Q&A. So hope everybody got all their questions answered. I hope this was very helpful for you guys. We should be back next month. Sorry, Zoom has still not emailed me. Y'all, you better believe that's going to be a fun conversation the Queenie's going to be having tomorrow with the Zoom people. Y'all have a good one. Bye, y'all.